myself, so I'm going to ask not just children, but if I could get any teens that are brave enough to come up and help us this morning. Okay, so children and teens that are brave enough to help us this morning. Yeah, let's go ahead. We'll come over here. A little more room. Corey and Lauren volunteered forcefully. They were forcefully involved. Anyway, kind of like the Army. Anyway, I asked them and they volunteered to do this. All right, so remember, parents, this is for all of us, okay? And we're going to play a game. We're going to play a game that goes all around this worship area, okay? It's a game called Follow the Leader. Y'all ever played it? You ever played it before? Will you come and help me? You're going to come and you'll come right behind me, and all you got to do is follow me. Okay? And then everybody else it'd be you, and then you, and then everybody else will come in behind you guys. Okay? All right, so you got to help me. All right? Come on. Come on. Everybody, come on. We'll make a nice line behind you, and we're going to play follow the leader. Here we go. You got to do everything I do. All right, we're going to do it real easy. Come on. Come on. All right, here we go. You got to do everything I do. I'm going to start real easy. Okay? I'm just going to walk. Just normal and regular. Just like this. Everybody doing this? They're doing this kind of sheepishly. I think they think something's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen other than just follow them. Okay. No, I'm not going to try to trick you in that way. But you have to do everything I do. Like if I start doing this, now hold it. You got to have a little soccer with it. You got to kind of like, yeah. Can you do that? Yeah. All right, we're doing that. All right. The best you go in the scissors. All right. Some are saying, wow, Pastor Kurt has jive. Others are saying, man, he looks really white. And I say that because I don't have a lot of jive. No one's ever accused me of that. All right. Here we go. Are you still following? All right, has it been easy?
Yeah.
I'm not going to have to get on your hands and knees or anything. But let's see. You ever heard that walk this way? Walk this way. Come on. Walk this way. You got your arms on it. You got your arms. Walk this way. Alright. Here we go. Now let's see. You see? Now that we thoroughly embarrassed all ourselves. Mostly me, maybe. Thank you. Now. Following the leader. You know, it can be a really fun game. I know when I was a kid, if I ever got to be the leader, of course, I did do some of those, like, stop and go backwards and, you know, try to really mess people up. And it was always a lot of fun, right? Well, God has put something in place for us. And that is to learn how to follow leaders. Okay? It's very interesting because no matter where you are in your faith in Christ, no matter what position God would put you in, He still wants you to follow leaders. Who would the ultimate leader be? This is an easy Sunday school answer. God. Okay, well then we'll say, who would be the human example of the ultimate leader? Jesus. That's the easy one, right? Well, the neat thing is that Scripture gives us many other examples, and then in our Christian faith, God allows us to have other examples to look at and follow for our life, okay? The interesting thing is that each of us, just like even all of you were following this young lady right here, and then you were following this young lady here, right? Even though you all were much older than them, you were following them, okay? As they were following me. Somebody understand how that works? So very much in our Christian walk, that's how God has intended things to work. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I thank you so much that you didn't just send your Son to die on the cross and then ascend to heaven and be at the right hand of God and say, all right, go to it. You didn't just do that. You said you sent others to come and be a picture of Christ for us as we journey in our life towards being like Jesus. And I pray for these children and students that are here. I pray that they will be very serious about their relationship with you and being very serious about who they follow. And that as they become leaders in their life, influences to others, that they will, in turn, be serious about their own life and be, as we've talked before, worthy of imitation because they truly are to be an example of Jesus to others. So I give them to you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, y'all can go back to your seat. Thank you for your help today. So I want to start with asking you, anyone here, adults, describe in as short a sentence or a few words as you can, describe a leader. Anyone?
The president.
Well, rather than position, let's describe what a true leader looks like or should be. Strong, okay?
Honest.
All right.
Trustworthy.
Sets an example.
Christ-like. Motivator.
A motivator. Okay.
A servant.
A servant. Not necessarily a Christ-like and servant aren't necessarily definitions the world would give, are they? But they're good at or descriptions. Anyone else?
Compassionate.
Okay. All right. So. How about this? Who should be leaders? All right. Change that all of us.
Everybody.
Everybody should be a leader. Okay. Well, maybe then that would pose the question, who should be followers? All of us. Let's talk about positions of leadership. Not necessarily like the president and so forth, but when you think of leadership, what positions do you think of? Not necessarily in the church, but just in the world. Not just in life, positions of leadership. A CEO.
Mothers and fathers.
Captains of fire companies. Okay, captains of fire companies, sure. Who else?
Teachers.
Pastors. Mm-hmm. Any other? Okay. Well, those are great positions. Now, y'all kind of answered this, but if you think of this, you know, 2 weeks ago we saw from Scripture that every believer should live a life worthy of imitation, right? Last week we went further to discover that not only should we live a life worthy of imitation, but that actually we are the example. We are the example of Jesus to others. And this week I'd like to take it a step further to that we learn that leaders follow leaders. Leaders follow leaders. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you teach us. And truly that though each of us are on a journey in our relationship with you, that your word has something for each of us. I pray that you will open our hearts, open our ears, and our minds to what you have to teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think there is an understanding of this, but I just want to reiterate that as Christians, if we claim to be Christians, we are commanded to be an influence on others. We're commanded to be an influence of the gospel of God with our life and our words to other people. That is, other people in our lives, at home, at work, at church, in our neighborhoods, in our community. So in the sense that we are to influence others, we are all called to a portion of leadership. And therefore, today's sermon is for every professing Christian. It's for all of us. So if I could, I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, 1 Thessalonians is easy to find. It's in the New Testament, and it's right before 2 Thessalonians. As you're flipping through, hopefully you don't just run by them. They're not real long, either one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul was only in the town or city of Thessalonica for 3 weeks. He was only there for 3 weeks before he was forced to leave at threat of death. And in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, he's writing this letter to them after he had already left. He's writing back to this church that was established. In 3 weeks of being there, this church was established. And he's writing back to them, and in chapter 2, he's describing his own qualifications of leadership. Now, one might think, well, Paul's just trying to blow up his own balloon of credibility. But that's not at all what he's doing. That's not at all that he's doing. He is actually teaching by example. My cousin, who has pastored many, many years, and I'm happy to remind him that he's much older than I am, he's been my mentor, or had been my mentor, for about 3 years of my ministry life. And one thing that he taught me and was part of his teaching was, Kurt, to be an effective leader, you have to first know how to be a good follower. And that is a humbling thing. There are leaders that, even in the church, folks, you've come across them, I'm sure, there are leaders, even in the church, that demand respect and demand following. And they, in many ways, become like dictators, tyrants, even in the church. But it is the person that learns to follow. And then through that, they learn how to love on others and respect others, and we'll get into that. And they command respect, just by the way they live their life. And you have to think, who would you rather follow? Someone who demands your respect, or someone who commands your respect? There's definitely a difference. Paul is one who commanded respect. When he gave his credibility here, again, it was not in pride, but it was in an example so that they could follow him because he followed Christ. And he was teaching them that leaders follow leaders. I believe that every true believer is called to lead in some capacity. We've discussed that. And one may or may not have a position of leadership and can still be a tremendous leader and influence over others in the church, in their home, in their community, in their school, in their work, and be an influencer a leader. I want to take a look at the qualities that the Apostle Paul points out about himself so that we can understand what leadership in our own lives should look like. Now, this is not an in-depth study that we're doing. And by the way, we are going to be going through this letter of 1 Thessalonians. Started last week, we'll be going the next couple of weeks. And I'm taking it almost a chapter at a time. So understand that we're taking big chunks, and it's really an overview that I hope will help you. For your own sake, take some notes. Go back and study. And today, for this week, study 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because I'm going to give you food for thought. But study it for yourselves. And as we look at this, kind of step by step, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, hopefully we can understand better what Paul is teaching about Christian leadership. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians 2, let's start with verses 1 through 4. Paul said this, For you yourselves know, brothers, that our visit with you was not without result. On the contrary, after we had previously suffered and we were treated outrageously in Philippi, that was the town they had come from, as you know now, we were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you in spite of great opposition. For our exhortation didn't come from error or impurity or an intent to deceive. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but rather God, who examines our hearts. Through the example of his own life, Paul starts by teaching that leaders in Christian faith will suffer persecution. Folks, this is not something, I want you to understand that Paul is not trying to give some flowery view of the Christian faith. I remember talking with a lady that had witnessed the gospel of Jesus and shared the love of Christ with a young lady. And the young lady, the testimony I received was that this young lady was just like, oh, I want that. And the one who was telling the gospel felt that the Holy Spirit was saying, now tell her the fine print. The fine print is that as a Christian, yes, it is the love of God. And when you receive the love of God, you can be overwhelmed with love. You will have capacity for love. You will receive grace. You will receive mercy. You will have joy and you will have peace. And everybody wants that. But when you read the fine print, you will have suffering. You will have persecution. You will have family members that laugh at you. You will have friends that want nothing more to do with you. You will have possibly loss of a job because people don't like your testimony and witness. And this person witnessing the gospel felt the Holy Spirit was saying, tell her the whole picture. And she did. And then the girl was like, no, that's too high a cost. I don't want it. And she walked away. Well, folks, that's telling the truth. I mean, when you sign up for something, don't you want to know the whole deal? Now, I'm not saying that, that particular witnesser was compelled by the Holy Spirit to do that. She didn't normally do that when she witnessed to the Lord or witnessed the gospel. But she felt, hey, I need to give the whole picture to this girl. Well, folks, Paul gives the whole picture of walking the Christian life. And the first thing he starts with is persecution, suffering for the cause of Christ. And understand, he was in Philippi and he suffered for Christ. He left Philippi and went to Thessalonica. And for 3 weeks he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for 3 weeks he was persecuted for it. Even to the point at the end of that 3 weeks, the reason it was only 3 weeks is because he had to leave because they literally were going to kill him. And he had to sneak out. If you want to know the rest of the story, in the book of Acts, you find out that the people that wanted to kill him in Thessalonica followed him. He went from Thessalonica to Berea. They followed him to Berea with the desire to kill him. They left their jobs, their homes, their families, and they hunted him down all the way to Berea. So, being a Christian, standing up in leadership, it may bring persecution. I'm not going to water that down. I'm not going to water it down. Folks, those of you who have stood for Jesus Christ, you know exactly what that's talking about, even here in America. Paul doesn't water this down. He starts with this. And I want you to understand, if you are standing up to influence others for Christ, you're standing up in leadership for Jesus Christ, it's a litmus test for you that if you are not suffering persecution for Christ and you're claiming to be a Christian, then you may not be living for Christ. If you're not suffering persecution, you may not be living as you should for Christ. You may not be living a life and speaking the words you should be speaking for Jesus Christ if you aren't suffering some kind of persecution. What? Now, this is not to say that you won't find favor with people. You still will. It's not saying that you won't have peace in your heart and life. It's not saying that you won't experience joy, because you will, even more so as you suffer persecution. It's not saying that you will lose all your friendships, even your unsaved friends. Not saying you'll lose all of them. But it may not be as close as it used to be. There could be some suffering that comes along with it. And folks, I will say again, if you are going to stand up for Christ and be worthy of imitation, be the example of Jesus, and you're going to come out and actually stand up in leadership and whatever in influence you have with others, expect persecution. God will see you through. And in fact, you will gain and command more respect even with unbelievers than ever before. But if there is no persecution in your life, maybe it's time to step up if you claim Christ. So the best part of this persecution for Paul, and then even for us, is it made him bolder. That's what he says in verse 2. He says, on the contrary, after we had previously suffered, we were treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. We were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you in spite of great opposition. What you'll find is, as you suffer persecution, now what does the Bible say about suffering and persecution? It says it will build patience or perseverance in your life. It will build character in your life. It will build a greater hope in the gospel of God in your life. And it will give you a greater boldness to speak and live the word of God in and through your life. And that's what it did for Paul. That's what it will do for any of us. You see, God isn't going to allow suffering to come into your life any more than you can handle with his help. If we try to do it on our own, if we force the gospel, if we aren't seeking first the kingdom of God, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, if we're seeking our own worth, our own gain, or even if we are guilting ourselves into spreading the gospel. Now, I know this is a fine line. This is why, and we'll talk about it, we need to continually be looking at our motivation. But we'll come to that. But as we're doing that, as we are doing things God's way, he will give us help and give us what we need to suffer any persecution that comes. In fact, it could come to a point that you get so used to it, you may not even realize you're suffering persecution and truly have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, am I suffering? Am I suffering? Because I count it all joy for you. That's what the apostles did. They got beaten, they got thrown in jail, they got mocked, they got cursed, they spit on, all that kind of stuff, and they counted it joy. Seriously? Yeah, they did. And so, even that didn't necessarily seem like much to suffer for them. The point is, as we know God and the importance of His Word, we'll realize that the satisfying life is the one that is lived in Him, in leadership and influence of others for Him. And our motivation, our reason for doing it is, as Paul said, to please God. It is to please God. If you are not speaking the gospel because you are wanting to keep some kind of status with friends or workmates or whatever, or family members, community, then you are doing that to please people. Conversely, if you are in some way speaking the gospel and, you know, doing all these things because you are trying to gain worth and position in church, you're doing that for people. Our motivation should be that of to please God. To please God. And He will honor us as we honor Him. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. Paul says this, "For we never use flattering speech, as you know, or had greedy motives. God is our witness, and we didn't seek glory from people, either from you or from others, although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles. Instead, we were gentle among you as a nursing mother nurtures her own children." Paul gives these guidelines for leaders who are following leaders. He says, basically, unlike the world, where our leaders, and you can see it, politics were mentioned, but you look at our leaders today, are they really seeking our good? Or are they seeking their own power, their own fame, and their own gain, financially especially? Come on. That's not too hard to figure out, is it? You know, it's sad to say, but even the best politician out there is pretty hard to trust. Would you agree?
Amen.
Because they are seeking power, they're seeking fame, and they're seeking money for their own benefit. Not so with leadership in Christ. What did Jesus say? The greatest leader is the greatest what?
Servants.
Servant, right? That's really interesting. In fact, he went on to say that the greatest is the one who is slave to all. Ouch. Really? And of course, Jesus led an example when he washed the disciples' feet. That literally was meant, a job meant for the lowliest servant, even slave, within a household. Okay? And Jesus did that as an example of the kind of servant life we should lead. Well, Paul, what he says here is, first of all, he says, hey, listen, you know I didn't come with any kind of flattering speech. I wasn't coming to try to, you know, make you all feel good, give you some kind of health and wealth type of gospel. Like, oh, you follow God, man, it's all going to be hunky-dory. Or you all are great. You're the best people I've ever seen. This is awesome. And man, you're going to be wealthy. You're going to be rich. Man, he had people flocking to him. He would have. But he didn't come to flatter with his speech. He didn't come wanting to lord over them and be greedy. And say, hey, I'm an apostle. And down to the last penny, you all need to be paying me tribute. You need to respect me. Because I am God's apostle. He could have. He literally could have done that and actually could have done it righteously. Not in the way I just demonstrated, but he could have done it righteously. But he said, no. I wanted to be an example to you. I'm a leader. And I have every right to be in a position, even in the world's eyes, as a leader. But I'm going to show you what a true leader in Christ is by not being any kind of burden on you. And in fact, I'm going to nurture you like a mother nurtures a child. Now, moms, I'm not a mom. I watch my wife. I'll just, flu season's around. You know how it is. I can tell you right now, in my home, now my wife, when it comes to the dogs, you know, losing their cookies or whatever on the floor, she can't, I mean, it's amazing. She can't handle that. It's like, ugh. And so I handle that. But when it comes to kids, I don't understand the motherly nurture stuff. If the kids are sick, I'm like, all right, you stay away from me. I won't get sick. She's like, oh, baby, come here, and hugging on. And I'm like, no wonder you're sick, honey. I remember, you know, when they're about to lose their cookies I remember one specific one, the kids even bring it up because they remember it, and one of my kids was about to lose their cookies, and she's like, oh, no, no, not all over everything here, just right here, right here. And I'm like, I like get paralyzed. But she has that motherly nurture. Paul understood that kind of nurture, even to the point that he was willing to nurture God's children, those who were so young in the faith, even when they were spiritually getting sick all over. And he was still there for them, nurturing them, loving on them, being like a mom to them in the faith. That's a Christian leader. Now, folks, I want you to know I'm standing up here. This is a tough sermon for me to preach. Because I self-evaluate as I study it and as I preach it. So I certainly am not standing up here saying I have achieved it all. And of course, we'll get to that as we get further. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul said this: we cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember our labor and hardship, brothers, working night and day so that we would not burden any of you. We preached God's gospel to you. I want you to understand Paul's motivation. I think it's one of the most beautiful things. It is truly what a Christian should look like, especially in leadership, if you are in a leadership position. But every Christian that calls himself a Christian should have this. Paul's motivation was pure, first of all, and it was so solely focused on the spiritual growth of the people, so much so that he didn't want to be any physical burden to them. But I want you to understand, now, Paul as a missionary, he wasn't necessarily, even though he only stayed 3 weeks, he wasn't necessarily going to stay there indefinitely either. So Paul came humbly to them. He didn't come to rule or to dictate. And in their day especially, but we see it today, teachers and preachers, especially ones that went from town to town, they went expecting fanfare. They expected to be wined and dined, seriously. And they expected to have more than their needs taken care of. Paul didn't expect any of that. He came so humbly. What he came then to do was to build a relationship with people. That's the thing I want you to see from what Paul's saying here when he says that we cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Paul was all about the relationship. Relationship is what true Christianity and Christian leadership is all about. Christian influence is about relationship. If you are out and you're trying to witness the gospel to somebody, unless the Holy Spirit has absolutely led you to talk to a stranger, which I think happens, by the way, and we should be in tune to that, but otherwise, we probably should keep our mouth shut, because God works through relationship. I'll never forget, in high school, one of my best buddies even today, he wasn't a Christian, and there were two young men that were in school, and they were actually acquaintances of mine, and they were very godly young men, and I know God has grown them from this, but it was very interesting to see. They did not build a relationship with my buddy. They didn't build a relationship with him. They just came and they just They gave him a tract, said, hey, I want you to read this. There's a little thing to fill out in the back, and then next time we get together, or next time I see you, we'll discuss it. My friend was like, threw the tract and never discussed anything with him. Now, I understand what those boys were doing. They're trying to be faithful to the Lord, but they didn't build a relationship with him. God allowed me to come in. I built a friendship with this guy that's years long. And he did come to know Jesus in God's time. Praise the Lord. But that's what God's calling us to do as Christian leadership. In our sphere of influence, build the relationship as best you can. And through it, through your life and your words, share the gospel. That's what Paul was doing. He worked night and day, as it says here, so that he wouldn't be a burden. He worked night and day giving of himself in relationship to the people there. And the gospel was spread into their lives. And then later, through whole life, the lives of the whole community, all of Judea, and as we talked about last week, Macedonia, Achaia, and beyond. Amazing what God did through this. Now, we are people that love our checklists, aren't we? How many of you ever write out a little list of things to do? I'm not saying how many of you complete them. I'm just asking how many of you, I'm going to write a list. All right? Yeah, we love lists. So we're going to go through a list of Christian leadership. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 10 through 12. Paul said this, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly, righteously, and blamelessly we conduct ourselves with you believers. As you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged, comforted, and implored each other, or each one of you, to walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So the list is this. A leader is to be devout in their faith, righteous in their dealings with people, blameless in their conduct, encouraging, comforting, admonishing, and desiring spiritual growth. There's your list of a leader in Christ. The hard part with a checklist like this one is that if we honestly look at it in self-evaluation, we find out, I'm going to work on this, this, this. And then we may even, and should, by the way, because leaders follow leaders, we should find someone, another leader in Christ, who maybe is further along in their relationship with the Lord and in their leadership of others, and we should maybe ask them, how do I stack up? And ask them to evaluate. And they evaluate us. Here's the thing. You're never done with the checklist. That's a checklist that continues. How devout is devout? Well, I can tell you, if you're a true believer, it should grow and grow and grow and grow. And we should grow in our devoutness. How righteous is righteous? We should grow and grow and grow in our righteousness. How blameless is blamelessness? How encouraging is being encouraging? How comforting? How much do we admonish? How much do we desire the spiritual growth in others? All of those things should grow in us. And so therefore it is a living list. But here's the result of leaders following leaders. Here's the result of doing these things, which we'll review in a moment, of what Paul talked about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. This is why we constantly thank God. Because when you receive the message about God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is, the message of God, which also works effectively in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you have also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and persecuted us. They displease God and are hostile to everyone, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. And as a result, they are always completing the number of their sins, and wrath has overtaken them at last. Now, Paul doesn't actually end this on negative terms, so I won't either. But let's just handle that last part. Basically, what Paul is saying is, don't worry about the persecutors. First of all, you're imitating what the churches in Jerusalem have already dealt with, the persecution that comes. But understand that God is God, and the wicked will have their day. They'll get theirs. So don't worry about it. That's what he's saying. But let's come back to what he said at the beginning. The result of living a life of influence, living a life as a leader following a leader, is that then people that are following you, people that are being influenced by you, you will get to see growth in their lives. You will get to see when they get it. And I'm going to tell you something. I cannot think of any greater joy. And folks, I've had four children. And the joy of birth is just amazing. I mean, I think I even mentioned to you, after my first son was born, an hour and a half later, it was the wrong timing and everything, but I went to my wife and I said, "That was so cool. Let's do it again." And she said, "Yeah, no." And I had to wait 3.5 more years. But even with that, I would have to put up with that and maybe more, is watching and being part of someone coming to Christ. Especially if I get to be there when they pray to accept Jesus as their Savior. Oh my goodness. That is amazing. Or if God has allowed me to influence someone's life and I'm watching them and watching them, and I go, man, if they would just take this step, just take that step, and then they do. Oh, man. It's like a teacher, you know, I mean, and it's even greater than for a teacher, I believe, because, you know, as a teacher, you know, you have this concept you're trying to teach, and all of a sudden you got this kid that's struggling, and then they get it. Oh, man, it makes all that teaching worthwhile. It's even greater because when you're teaching something of spiritual value and they get it, it lasts for eternity. It lasts for eternity. Wow. And then if you then growing in the Lord and you have the part in influencing a group of people and you watch them like Paul watched the Thessalonians go out and be an example to others, spreading the gospel, and they as a group, they're leading the other people to Christ, and they're growing in their faith, then that is almost indescribable to see that kind of joy. And that's what Paul's talking about here. That's the result. The bottom line is this. You get where you want to be by following someone who's already been there. And they're still growing. The principles of our leadership and how to lead are this. We should have the right motivation, and that is to please God. We should have relationships in mind, not tasks. Tasks are good, we need those. But it is all for relationship. We should live godly lives speaking God's words of the gospel. And then we lead and influence knowing that the results are God's. And it is pure joy to be part of it. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the privilege that it is to be a Christian. There are many here that do claim that you are Lord of their life, Savior of their eternity. My prayer, Lord, is that by hearing what they heard today, that they'll get it. Because I pray the same for myself. And even as I studied, I saw things, oh boy, I need to get that. And then as I'm speaking the words of it today to my brothers and sisters here, I'm seeing things in my own life. Oh yeah, I need to get that. I know that your word was preached today. Your word was read. It was taught. And so I pray that my brothers and sisters here will hear what you want them to get. And each of us, that we will hold ourselves accountable, gain accountability, and learn to follow leaders who are further along in their faith. And And then may we be influencers, be that example, because we are the example of Jesus to others, to be worthy of imitation, as we've already discussed, but that we will truly keep in mind that we are leaders, leaders who are there to please God, leaders who are ones to build relationship with others, and leaders that will keep you in mind, knowing that the results are yours. In Jesus' name.